In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Do you think that you have a stronger faith than the faith of the disciples? We modern people often criticize the disciples for their lack of faith. We kind of chuckle behind their backs when we see all the ways that they did not understand who Jesus was. However, when we look more closely at them, we can see clearly a very strong faith at work. Even before Christ's resurrection, Jesus had chosen these disciples to go forth and to preach his holy word. Not only to preach his word, but also to cast out demons. Not only to cast out demons, but to perform great miracles of healing as well. They went out at his command and lived in what you and I would call poverty. No extra clothing, no extra food, no protection. And when they came back rejoicing. Even the demons submitted to us, Lord, they reported to him. They rejoiced in the work that they had been given. All this they did without even seeing Jesus raised from the dead. So we may not have a weaker faith than them, but surely we are foolish to say that we have a stronger faith. Now consider how those faithful disciples behaved in the face of death. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, the faithful apostles, with a faith likely stronger than ours, these strong, faithful apostles ran away. Judas had betrayed Jesus, Peter denied him, and almost all of the disciples hid themselves. Only one, the beloved disciple, St. John, did not. And St. John is what you and I would call a boy. So young, he's often painted without a beard. So young, it made sense for him to stay with the women. And of course, the women could get closer to the cross. The women would not be arrested. The women would not be harassed by the soldiers. They were used to seeing women at the feet of their loved ones being crucified, crying and wailing. And there was John with them. But the rest of the disciples, mighty in faith, scattered like sheep without a shepherd. They teach us not to be too proud or sure of ourselves in the face of death. Death scatters. Take a look at your photos. When you go home tonight, the ones on your phone or in your albums, and notice what you take the most pictures of. What you take the most pictures of is probably what you are the most concerned about losing. You and I know the truth that we spoke at the beginning of Lent. We are dust and ashes, and one puff of air scatters those ashes. We spend our lifetime trying to keep the ashes of our life from scattering. And so we keep those photos in order to keep those memories. And we have financial plans in order to keep our wealth from scattering. And we invite family and friends in order to keep our relationships from scattering. At some point, all of you have probably heard someone say something like, "You know, we really should record or write down all of Grandpa's memories before it's too late." Death scatters us like ashes. And the great believers called the disciples teach us not to be too sure of ourselves in the face of that great scattering. So here is where our Lord, the true believer, shows us the way. In the midst of his death, Jesus gathers. Specifically, Jesus gathers from his cross, the way the church today gathers, through his words. On the cross, he gathered all those who crucified him into his forgiveness, praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And do we think the Father did not grant his prayer? He gathered the thief into paradise. "Today you will be with me." He even gathered the scriptures to his own person, fulfilling every word down to the separation of his clothing. He gathered his mother to his beloved disciple John, and he gathered John to his mother, forming a new family right there in the midst of the destruction of the family they both had known. Jesus gathers as death scatters, because he is the faithful shepherd to the very end, and he accomplishes that great gathering through his holy word, just as he still does today. What is holy baptism but Jesus continuing to gather us from his cross by his word and setting a sheep pen around his sheep by the power of his name and saying, "These belong to me and shall not be scattered by that old wolf, the devil." The word of God is living and active, gathering us into the Father's arms in the midst of a world scattered by death. So now you know the fundamental reason why we hold funerals in the church. We don't trust our own strength in the face of death. We are foolish to do so. "I don't need a funeral," people sometimes say. "I don't really feel sad." Maybe it's not about that. Maybe it's about something much larger. We don't have faith in our faith, for we know that even the great believing disciples could be scattered by death. And who knows among us how death will reach each of us or those whom we love. We may picture for ourselves and for our loved ones a long life ending with great medical care. But that is not how death reaches everyone. And who knows what sufferings God will permit us to suffer before we reach the grave. We are foolish to trust our own efforts at holding things together, whether it's pictures or financial management or family ties or our own human love and memory making. Dust scatters. We need the power of God to gather. We find that power in the good, gracious, kind, and enduring divine gathering of the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and a eulogy. Eulogies are good. It is good to remember and to speak of the loved one who has died. But they are not the divine gathering of the Word. How did Jesus look in life? We don't know. Isaiah 53 says he wasn't much to look at, that he had no beauty or form of godliness that we should desire him. We don't know how long his hair was, how long his beard was, how long his body was. We don't know if he preferred olives or grapes, pomegranates or goat milk. How did his voice sound when he sang, and what was his favorite psalm? What kind of games did he play as a child or as an adult? Did he have big feet? Did he like to swim? Was he a night owl or an early riser? We don't know anything like that. The scriptures aren't recording a eulogy. They're recording the word of God. It is his word alone that keeps us gathered with him while death scatters. So we are all terminal cases, and we respond to our termination with the word of God. We commend the dying, surrounding them with prayer and that word. We receive the body, confessing that this body, even in death, is a temple of God. And we wrap up that body in the promises of baptism, the pall draped over it, the candle at its feet. And then we settle in and we preach the word. Every now and then, someone will say to me, you know, what I really look for in a funeral sermon is whether or not the preacher knew the dead man. Well, fair enough. Preachers should know their flocks. But don't look primarily for that. According to 1 John chapter 3, you and I don't even really know our loved ones, and we will only know them when Jesus comes again. What we need to hear is what God knows about the dead man. And God's word tells you that. And that's what you want to hear. It is the only power that gathers when everything else scatters. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.